Hi, this is Matthew Mousley, and I'm here with Sandra Jeske. We're lawyers at Duane Morris. It's a firm of over 650 lawyers in the U.S. and internationally. Today we're going to give you an overview of privacy laws in the United States, both at the federal and at the state level. In the last several years, of course, there's been an increased focus on privacy. There's been substantial media attention, a number of industry initiatives, congressional hearings, FTC studies, recommendations, and, of course, public interest group activity. As a result, privacy and security have become a dominant, high-profile issue in the United States. I wouldn't be overstating it to say that you can't pick up a newspaper or a magazine without seeing something about protection of confidential information or a recent security breach. Sandy, can you summarize the U.S. policy or an approach to privacy?
Yes, thanks, Matt. In the U.S., there is a growing patchwork of federal, state, and local laws forcing companies that operate online to deal with complex and sometimes difficult legal and regulatory environments, while at the same time, businesses are faced with a high level of scrutiny as to their online data collection and disclosure practices. So using that as a backdrop, let's just talk about the laws. The U.S. takes a sectoral approach to privacy, which is dominated by a series of federal, state, and local statutes, as well as constitutional and common law rights, all of which are designed to protect discrete categories of sensitive personal information.
And Sandy, can you give us a couple of examples of categories of sensitive personal information that would be covered by these types of laws?
Sure. For example, in the financial services area, we have the Graham-Leach-Bliley Financial Services Modernization Act, which we refer to simply as GLBA. It addresses financial institutions or businesses in the financial services industry, which can include a broad array of companies. GLBA imposes strict requirements on those businesses and is also responsible for the privacy notices that consumers receive in the mail from banks, credit card companies, etc. In addition to GLBA, there are many other statutes such as the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Right to Financial Privacy, Consumer Credit Reporting Reform Act, Electronic Funds Transfer, etc., all of which have privacy-related components within them. While each of those statutes is not specifically focused on privacy, each does include some privacy aspects as a component. Of course, healthcare information is also protected by a number of statutes as well. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, as we all know it, has provisions which address the privacy of personal healthcare information. There are a number of other health-related statutes which address particular healthcare information, each of which addresses privacy of personal healthcare information as well. Following on our discussion of the U.S.'s sectoral approach to privacy, Matt, can you address some of the categories of protected information?
Sure. There's online data that's relating to children is protected by the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, also known as COPPA, C-O-P-P-A. And that's a federal statute that specifically addresses the collection and handling of personal information from children under 13 years of age. It ensures that the collection of personally identifiable information from children is done with parental consent, and it specifically outlines the way in which such information may be collected and handled. Other areas which are governed include personal data in the employment setting, in the communications industry, and educational data, among several others, all of which could be the subject of their own podcast.
That's very true. The U.S. approach to privacy is very different than what we see in Europe in that we have statutes which cover discrete pieces of information rather than a comprehensive statute or approach to privacy.
That's true. There really is no federal privacy authority whose sole job is to deal with the enforcement of privacy laws. Instead, in the United States, we have the Federal Trade Commission, or the FTC, which is the de facto privacy and security watchdog. Generally speaking, the FTC educates consumers and businesses about the importance of privacy and security of personal information. The FTC is also tasked with enforcing laws that prohibit business practices that are anti-competitive, deceptive, or unfair to consumers. It does this by guarding against unfairness and deception and by enforcing privacy policies of companies that do address how they collect data and use and secure consumers' personal information.
In fact, until recently, the FTC's privacy enforcement actions have involved businesses that make a particular statement which is false or misleading. Of course, the problem with doing that is that a company can avoid such claims by saying absolutely nothing about its practices. Over the last several years, the FTC has taken actions against companies that gave absolutely no assurances about their practices. And, of course, this marked an aggressive shift in the FTC's enforcement strategy and certainly raises the bar for companies that store and handle customer information. Now, you don't need to make a statement or an affirmative assertion about your information practices to be held liable under the FTC Act. And so, essentially, we are opposing more of what I would consider a GLBA-type standard, which is fairly aggressive dealing with regulated industries.
Okay. And so far, we've been talking about federal privacy laws. There are also a number of state privacy laws as well. For example, California has always been one of the states on the forefront of privacy laws. In fact, California was the first state to have a governmental agency specifically devoted to consumer privacy protection. It is one of the first states also to have a statute that requires website operators and other online service providers to provide privacy policies on their websites.
That is important because when a business has a web presence of any kind, you are, by default, addressing consumers on a national, if not a worldwide, basis. As such, if you intend to do business with California residents, you have to comply with California laws in that regard. From my view, Matt, businesses really need to look at what I refer to as the highest common denominator. In other words, comply with the most aggressive and demanding law in the books to ensure that you're fully compliant with all of the states as well as the federal statutes. In order to ensure appropriate compliance for our clients, we've developed a spreadsheet of various state and federal laws which outlines the requirements of each.
And I assume you can't just rely on doing this analysis once. I mean, this is a dynamic thing. As laws change, it's not just static. Certainly, as the laws change, regulations are put into place to clarify or further detail legislation of the states. And so that's something that I know that we're constantly looking out for and we're always mindful of.
Absolutely. And, in fact, there have been some changes recently regarding certain states. I know, Matt, you're familiar with Massachusetts as well.
Right. Massachusetts has a new regulation that just went into effect on March 1st, 2010. It imposes strict data security rules on anyone that owns or licenses personal information about a resident of Massachusetts. It requires businesses that do collect such information to develop, implement, and maintain a comprehensive written information security program. Another thing to note about Massachusetts is that there's an affirmative encryption requirement that requires certain data be encrypted. This is viewed, quite frankly, as a reaction to the recent security breaches.
And interestingly, the Massachusetts statute covers both electronic data as well as paper records, too. So it's very important. The point here really is that any businesses with an online presence or even a local business which collects personal information must ensure compliance with these new privacy laws. Of course, there are several new security statutes and rules that require compliance as well, and of course they are a topic of yet another podcast. In conclusion, the privacy laws in the U.S. are diverse, and they cover discrete pieces of personal information. Because the laws change frequently, it's important that you engage counsel who are fluent in this ever-growing landscape of privacy laws. Thank you for your time. Look for our other podcasts on various aspects of IT law.